Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be here with you today moderating our webinar on making the most out of your website. Websites are windows into a company, offering a glimpse of what separates one company from another. Increasingly, for companies in the credit collection industry, they are also portals for individuals to manage accounts and make payments. Managing a wide spectrum of objectives can be difficult for any collection agency website, and I'm thrilled to bring to you a panel of experts today from across the accounts receivable management industry who are here to share their tips and tricks to help make the most out of your website. This webinar is being generously sponsored by PDC Flow. You'll get the chance to hear more about them a little later in our program. I wanted to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the credit collection industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and it's a great resource of news and insight to help educate and inform. I hope everyone takes a minute or two every day to check out what it's got to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Julie Hughes is a senior product manager at True Accord. She works across teams to launch strategic product updates while maintaining a high level of compliance. During her time at True Accord, she has worked on many aspects of the product, from building enterprise integrations to managing payment processing. She currently oversees a consumer experience, which includes their customer interactions on the True Accord website. Patrick Lawson is the CEO and managing member of Convergence Acquisitions, LLC. Patrick has 15 years of industry experience, starting as a collector while an undergraduate. Patrick has a passion for technology and automation and works daily at those tasks. Currently, he oversees Convergence operational processes and business development. Kelly Parsons O'Brien is the president of Pacific Credit Services, formerly known as Credit Bureau Associates. Kelly is a third-generation debt collector and has worked for the family business for 26 years. She has a passion for collections and has spent most of her careers working with the collections department and helping collectors reach their best potential. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing and when the discussion is concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available later today on AccountsRecovery.net. Finally, I just want to ask everyone to reserve a minute and fill out the survey that should pop up on your screen after the webinar is over today. You should also receive a link via email tomorrow to access the feedback survey. Participating in the survey helps me develop content that's what you're looking for and find the speakers, much like the ones we have with us today, who are the people you want to and need to be hearing from. With that, let's move into the discussion for today. So what I'd like to do first is go around the panel and maybe talk a little bit about what functionality you think most collection agencies are missing from their websites. And maybe Julie, you wouldn't mind going first.
Sure. So I actually don't have as much insight into the specifics of which features are missing. Usually you have to have a login and account to actually be able to access those features. But you know, I will say that, of course, most agencies have the basic functionality of online payments. But really, I think how an agency goes about doing that is what differentiates them in their websites. So what I mean is, you know, is what's shown on the website to consumers predefined, or is that dynamic? Does it change according to which user is on the site? So as an example, are agencies using data to make decisions on what to offer customers, what payment plans are available, how much of a settlement they should be offering, different pages or customer treatments. And I think using this data to differentiate the experience for each consumer is really what makes a unique experience for them. And I don't think most agencies are doing as much of that as they could be.
Yeah, I'll jump in. This is Patrick. So I think that what we see when we do reviews of, say, a new agency that's going to conduct business with us is is there a complaint module, or is there an ability for a consumer to communicate with the executives of a company directly? Can they post questions or make complaints? And we see that that's not always there. The other thing that we tend to see is agency websites or websites in general are stale, meaning there has not been content updates. There hasn't been stylistic updates. And so if your website was designed 10 years ago and hasn't been updated since then, does that create confidence in your brand, essentially?
Patrick, that's a good point. One of the things that I was in, I think one of the topics later on, I made a note about really giving the consumer an opportunity to be heard. And I think through, making it very clear that your website is asking them to communicate with you, I think is something that we're not doing a great job. I was looking at, before we were doing this, I was looking at some of the agencies that just do Collections California and look at some other agencies' websites. And what I really saw is that we're not really looking at our website from a consumer perspective. We're looking at it much more from a sales perspective. And then there's in the corner, it says consumer contact us or something similar to that. And I think that there, maybe we could do a better job as an industry of having either some balance, having maybe more than one website, some flexibility there. But I really think that we're not really looking at it from the consumer experience when we're developing our websites.
I think there's been a reluctance on the part of some agencies to say, why would I want to take a complaint from someone? Why do I want to let someone know they can't complain? But to the point that, each of you are making, I think it's better, and I think everyone will agree that it's better if a consumer complains to you rather than goes to complain to the Better Business Bureau or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is if they can't come to your website and find somewhere to communicate with you and express something good or bad, then they're going to go somewhere else to do it. So I think to the point that each of you are making, that's a really important component that collection agencies should have on their websites. And it should be very, very pronounced, and everyone should be able to see it, from space, so to speak.
Well, and Mike, one of the things that I think about is there's a lot of consumer attorneys that are using our company names to make YouTube videos, to put up websites, mm-hmm. and things like that. So if they're the ones that are doing all this work, then that's where the consumers are going to be directed towards. If they're Googling your company name and getting a consumer attorney on YouTube telling the consumer how they can sue the agency, it's not really the place that we want to be sending them to. So really having a place where the consumer can go and be heard, I think, is so key.
And I think in this day and age, people want to be able to do everything to service their debt online. And they don't want to have to pick up that phone call to complain. So if you can offer the ability to do those complaints or disputes or whatnot in an automated self-serve fashion, then consumers will really appreciate that and be, frankly, surprised that you offer that on your website.
Yeah, and I think that also complaint sounds like a bad word, but feedback isn't always necessarily a bad thing. So a consumer having the ability to give you feedback on something that has occurred in their interaction with your office or, some type of input isn't a bad thing. You can typically resolve those issues on your own. And I think previously it was stated without a third party being involved in that. And that's obviously beneficial to your organization to be able to handle those on your own.
Oh, definitely. And as a product manager, I learn stuff about our product all the time from complaints. I'm like, oh, this seems like it might be broken. There might be a bug here. So seeing complaints come in is very helpful for me to see from our consumers.
Julie, I'm curious. I want to circle back to something you mentioned during your opening remarks, talking about taking data and incorporating that into a user's experience of the website. That is something that TrueAccord has sort of staked its competitive differentiation on, which I think that's a great thing that they've done. How would you, a lot of agencies maybe don't have that kind of IT bandwidth or the technical skill set to do something like that. So do you have any advice how they might sort of get started or might be able to sort of do that on a smaller scale?
Yeah, definitely. I think analyzing data about how your consumers are using your website is really key. And you know, if people on the call are familiar with TrueAccord, then you've probably heard about our Heartbeat, which is our machine learning engine that, you know, it doesn't operate without data. So data is very key for us. But if you're just starting out and you don't have the bandwidth and all the engineers you need to get something like that spun up, there are tools out there that you can use, like Google Analytics, Mixpanel, Heap, etc. There's all kinds of analytics tools that you can use kind of as third parties to help you get that infrastructure set up so that you can start analyzing the traffic and the interactions on your website.
Excellent, thank you. Patrick, I'm curious, you were talking about sort of looking at potential partners and looking at their website, you know, and maybe they haven't been updated, or maybe it just looks like they haven't been updated. Is that something that, how much of a red flag is that to you? I mean, is it to the point where you'll consider not doing business with somebody if their site looks, you know, either has typos or just looks like it's, you know, it was built in the days of AOL and MySpace?
Sure. So I think that it won't preclude them 100%. But I think that it's definitely, you know, when you go out to vet someone, the first thing typically that you're going to do is look at the low-lying fruit. So, and that is a website. You can Google them, see what kind of results you're seeing on Google, then also look at their website. I think that being in a compliance-focused world, and if you have not put the effort into the website, like most individuals that are in our industry do at this point, it certainly raises red flags of, you know, why is this not being focused on, or why has this not been a priority for that organization to keep this updated? It's not that difficult of a thing to do. We use a third party that is well known in the industry. They keep track of updates and make sure that, you know, the site is constantly being configured in a way that, you know, mobile devices can read it, or has the right security patches and things of that nature. So I think that it's important to put some effort and some focus on it so that you do look somewhat modernized and somewhat buttoned up.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. There's a lot of sites out there where you can build your own website using them. You don't necessarily have to have a robust team of engineers and designers, but I do want to call out the importance of having, you know, designers on your team, since they really, they're focused on that look and feel and the user experience, and making sure that when consumers come to your website, they're able to find what they're looking for and move through the steps without confusion. So, I just want to highlight the fact that I love our designers here at TrueAccord, and they're definitely a key aspect to our consumer experience on the website.
Well, you know, and I think from like maybe the smaller agency perspective of not having somebody on your team, what we've done in the past is just pool some of my closest friends. So people that kind of know the industry but aren't in the industry, people that I trust their opinions, and just say, like, go on our website, tell me what I'm missing. Like, if you were a consumer, what would you do? And what I found is they were able to give me some really honest feedback of what I needed, what they liked. We just recently changed our website, and the feedback was so nice to say, like, okay, you really made a big difference in this place. And so for us in our office was just going out to people, just consumers really, and asking for their opinions. But it helped having these people that I, you know, were close to me and that I trusted, and then also kind of knew a little bit about our industry as well. So that's kind of for the smaller agencies that might not have marketing teams and stuff on staff. This, I think, was a really good way to at least give me some opinions based on, you know, what they liked, instead of like, you know, hey, I've looked at that website 100 times over the last, you know, year and a half. So for me, it was really beneficial.
Definitely. There's also tools out there that you can use to get that feedback. It's great to get feedback from, you know, people in the industry, people on your team. But if you want, unbiased feedback from people who either have never been in collections or those who have been in collections, there's a tool out there called usertesting.com. And you can kind of set parameters of what types of users you want to walk through your website and test it out and give you feedback. So we've gotten some really great insight from doing that. Because sometimes you're just too into the design or, you know, the user experience, and there's things that you won't notice as somebody who's so close to it. So that's a really good call out to get that feedback.
Excellent tip. Thank you, Julie. At this point, I just want to pause the discussion for a moment and say a few words about PDC Flow, the sponsor of today's webinar. PDC Flow's payment hub offers a single platform for accounts receivable teams to quickly send an invoice, collect a credit, debit, or ACH payment, and obtain a signature in one simple and secure workflow. The software offers text, email, chat, and IVR payment channels, a customizable online payment portal, and robust reporting ideal for debt collection agencies, medical billing companies, hospitals, and healthcare organizations. Programming and customer operations for PDC Flow's national client base have been completed in-house in Ogden, Utah since the company's founding in 2003. Thanks again to Don, Hannah, and the team at PDC Flow for sponsoring today's event. Now let's pick up with our discussion. There's been a lot of articles in the news, and certainly I've published my fair share of them over the past couple of months about a collection agency that was a victim of a data breach, reportedly because of its online payment portal. So as we talk about websites and the user experience and having the ability for consumers to make payments online, I'm wondering, you know, if you look at this data breach and without necessarily getting too deep in the weeds on our conversation about IT security, just wondering how you sort of factor that issue into making sure that, you know, your consumer experience is as easy as possible, but also as secure as possible. Julie, would you start us off on that one?
Sure. Talking about payment specifically, there's services out there where you can tokenize your payment information so that you don't have the credit card information or the ACH information stored on your company's databases or computers. So how that works is you basically send that information to this tokenization service, and they will give you back a token that every time you want to charge this person's payment information, if they're on a payment plan or whatnot, then you're using that unique token that's encrypted instead of having to pull up their full, account and routing number. And so we do that here, which has been definitely like best practice that we recommend. But in general, for information security, I would say a defense in depth approach is always best. So what I mean by that is that you want to have a series of defense mechanisms that are layered on top of each other in order to protect your data assets. So if one of them fails, then you have a backup to stop an attack. And it's commonly referred to as the castle approach for this defense in depth method, because it kind of mirrors the layered defenses of a medieval castle. So if you think about it, before an enemy can get into the castle, you have to get across the moat and then the stone walls and the drawbridge and the towers and so on. So they don't have just one single layer of protection. You want to have a series of defenses to protect yourself, such as firewalls, malware scanners, data encryption, tokenization, like I mentioned, so that if one of them fails, then you have a backup. So you want to think about different ways and different layers that you can have to protect yourself from any data breaches.
I'll go next. That was a great explanation. I'm going to struggle to follow up after that. So I think as a small business, we take a little bit of a different approach. We utilize a lot of third parties to handle these transactions. And so we rely on their compliance and their data standard requirements that they have to meet to be able to be, say, a credit card processor. We don't house any consumer PI on our website to avoid that potential risk. And then we don't house any of the credit card or ACH information. We rely on the third party to to manage all of that and to, you know, to have their work standards and their processes and policies and stuff that we then go and our compliance team will review and make sure that they're in compliance with the standards that we have to meet from either sellers or creditors or organizations that we belong to. But being a small business, we try to mitigate our risk by not having those items out there. And then using those third parties to protect us from their security and their compliance standards that they have to have.
And I think to Patrick's point is we're very similar in that same respect. I also think that it's our responsibility is to keep having those dialogues with our vendors that we're using. Because I know that at least our office, we get into this place where the vendor's working, they're fine, there's no problem. But then something like this comes up, you know, with this data breach and it's like, okay, well, let's back up. Like, what are our vendors doing? Are there been changes with the with what they're doing? Are they communicating those changes with us? So, and then what are they doing in response to something like a data breach that affected, you know, somebody in our industry? Is that something that they need to be aware of? So, you know, I think that making sure that you're having that ongoing dialogue. And so what we've tried to do is implement like an every 6 month conversation with all of our different vendors so that each, you know, twice a year we're having like a conversation with them about what changes are coming, you know, what other products they're offering, because that's another thing that I think we miss is they're often selling to their new clients and sometimes they're offering new products that might also benefit our business. So it's a great way for us to have those two conversations.
Yeah, and I'll add that there's also some companies out there that will help you do vendor assessments, like help you ask those questions about API compliance and how they do certain processes and protect their data. So if you don't necessarily know what to ask, or if this third party that you want to use is a good idea, then there are kind of consulting companies out there to help you with those decisions.
Agreed. Definitely ask questions. So we, you know, we have a third party that manages our complete hardware systems here for the network. And so when things happen, we approach them. But I like the idea of being more proactive than reactive. Because we do fall in that bucket as well. We see something happen, so then we go out to our vendors and say, are we protected? But I think sometimes it's hard not to be reactive because we don't know what people are doing out there sometimes.
Definitely.
Okay. Very good. Excellent. Okay. We've got a question that came in and it's a discussion topic I wanted to spend a few minutes on. So I'm going to ask the question and, you know, sort of follow up a little bit. The question is, should an agency separate their sales site from their consumer site? And, you know, my discussion topic was going to be, you know, there are sort of three, I guess, objectives that a collection agency can have with its website. And that's attracting new business, working with consumer, you know, working with their customers or consumers on payments and disputes and things like that. And then the third prong being sort of recruiting, how to hire new people. And I'm just wondering how each of you view whether that should be three sites or one site, or, you know, how, you know, how collection agencies can sort of have the conversation or have a discussion about how best to set up their website to make sure they're accomplishing three objectives, which are all kind of pretty different from one another. Patrick, you want to go first this time?
Certainly. I think it's actually a pretty intriguing question. I don't know that I have the best answer for this, but I will tell you from our stance, we have one website. So we have a website that is for both consumers and business development. Also, you know, a little bit for regulators as well, if they want to come and kind of look around the website. We don't have two different websites, but I could see the appeal of having two different websites, because what you're trying to impress upon someone that you're trying to get their business from is different than someone that you're trying to collect from. And so it's a little bit of a different story, but we haven't separated those two. We haven't necessarily found a need to do that, I guess. The message that we tell potential clients or sellers is, you know, we treat consumers fairly, and that message doesn't change if we have one website or two websites. So we feel comfortable having one.
Yeah, we're in the same boat at TrueCard. We have one website. Yeah, we want to funnel everyone to the one website, and then you know, we use clear website navigation and organization to get people to the appropriate information that they need. And yeah, having business development and recruiting and the consumer experience all in one place can be a lot, but you know, it's definitely doable if you have clear you know, nav bars, menus, you know, et cetera, to get people to the right place. And for us, you know, the consumer interaction, like making payments and disputes, that's done behind a login or, you know, authentication. So they're kind of taken out of the more marketing side of the website and into their own, you know, portal experience. So yeah, they could everyone kind of starts in the same place, but then for consumers, it's a different experience once they're you know, on their portal.
And, you know, I think you can do it on one website. And I don't, Mike, can I name agencies? Like if I checked out their website and I like it, yeah. If I see something nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So IC Systems is an agency that does a lot of business in our area. So they popped up when I did a search. And what I really liked about their website is that although they're selling their business, clearly their focus in their website and their business is consumer interaction. So what's really interesting about their website is they're telling you who they are. They're telling you like, hey, request a quote. But like immediately on their website, it's like, have you been contacted by us? Do you have, you know, I'm a client. I want access to the system. So for me, this is the type of website, and clearly you can do it however you want, but I think this is the type of website that really gives everything that everybody needs from you right on the front page, and they do a really good job at it. The contact page is actually the on the, you know, on the front screen, and you know, I think we may have mixed emotions about having that right on that front page, but I think that it just really creates, I imagine it's creating an environment where people are going to their site and communicating with them before they're filing a complaint against them or filing a lawsuit. And so for me, I think you can do both, provide a good place to sell your business. But I also wonder, like, how many of us are actually selling a new client off our website? So I think Patrick mentioned earlier about checking people that he's going to do business with. So I think we need to have a good website, because I think that our clients, our potential clients, are looking at our website and judging us based on that. But I don't know that we're getting new business just from a Google search, or I think most, at least in our instance, most of our business is coming from referrals, or even some cold calls from our salespeople, our RFP process. So when I look at my website, I'm really thinking about, like, it really should be maybe a tool more for consumers and our current clients, and not so much a sales website, because really I'm not getting very many sales because of my website.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we're actually doing a website refresh right now, because a lot of us here think that our website is too focused on potential clients. And we'll be moving more towards having more of a focus on consumers and giving them information about us and making sure that they see that, you know, we're a legitimate company, and if they never heard of us, and kind of gaining that trust. So that's definitely important to not just focus on the clients.
To that end, do you think, you know, as you're, you know, sort of viewing viewing your websites from the lens of the consumer, do you think that agencies should have educational resources, you know, articles to teach consumers about debt, finance, you know, things like that? Or is that something that's best left to someone else, and, you know, agencies should maybe sort of focus on their core competency, which is collecting?
Well, you know, I think that giving them some resources to go to, and what I was thinking about, well, where would you refer them to? And so this guy's name's like Dave Ramsey. I think he's like a big, like, financial guru. He's got like some TV show and stuff. So I was looking at all these things, and I'm like, well, like, okay, well, maybe that's the kind of education they need. So like some of it might be like referring them to the CFPB's website. And I know I freaked probably half the call, you know, half the people on the call out, but the CFPB has a lot of valuable information, and it's pretty straightforward. The FTC, same thing. They have, you know, a valuable amount of information. I know that ACA is working on redoing their, what I think it used to be, Dr. Debt website. I think that the consumers need some of that information because there's so many consumer groups kind of giving them these like false hopes about getting out of paying their debt. But I also think that really financial literacy and like how to balance your budget and how to get out of debt, you know, how to start paying bills back. I think that type of education, I think the consumers will value it. I don't know how you get your message out there that you're providing that information. I also would be concerned, I guess, from my like compliance perspective of like, if I give information that isn't is that great, am I now in violation of some law that they're going to sue me for? So I think that education is important. And I think that as the industry changes, we're going to have to continue to be an added benefit to the consumers. So I like, although we're doing a job of collecting money for our clients, I think the way that we get consumers to work with us and pay their bills often is because they want to work with us. They know that we're a company that adds more benefit to them than just paying off their bill. And, you know, unfortunately, because that's not enough for consumers anymore, like paying back the money that they owe isn't always really what drives them to you.
Yeah, and we, you know, we have educational links on our website. I believe it's an RMAI requirement for a certified debt buyer to have some sort of links. I don't think that it's our job to actually educate, but to give them the resources. So if they find that content on your site while they're looking at your site, they can certainly use it. But I do think you should have some sort of direction to give to the consumer in terms of links, but I don't think that it's our responsibility necessarily to educate them, or do they want to be educated by us?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think you really want to be careful that you're not giving financial advice, because that could be misconstrued. And the main concern is to not put anything on your website that could be false or misleading. And if you are putting links to external sites, you just have to be aware of the risk of not being in control of the content that's on those sites. So you could put a link on your website and then the content on that page could change. So you should be diligent about what you're linking to. And I would just advise that you check with your compliance counsel before, you know, linking to any external sites, because you don't want to put things on there that could potentially get you sued, of course. And you know, in general, I'd say that we want to be giving consumers advice on what we're experts on. So that's, you know, how to make payments, how to report fraud, how to dispute, and not diverge too far from that.
So would you advise maybe against, you know, sort of linking to other sites just on the off chance, you know, something is there that you didn't see, or maybe gets put up after you link to it that is questionable or could present problems if it's found out that you were referring people to that particular site?
I think if it's a trusted source, then it's okay. Like we do have some links to the CFPB website, but I don't think we link anywhere else. I might be wrong on that, but I know we have some links to the CFPB website. But it's just something to be aware of that it could be a risk.
Yeah, I agree. We link to .gov sites primarily. From our website, so it's educational resources that are provided by the government, not necessarily a privatized third party.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what we were just talking about, sort of the different objectives for a website, I'm curious, and I don't think I heard it, and if I did, I apologize, but we talked about consumer experience, we talked about potential clients. I'm curious, the recruiting aspect of it. I know some agencies, especially maybe larger ones, you know, are using their sites and offering, you know, apply for a job or here are the openings that we have, you know, sort of kind of pushing out, looking to get new talent in the doors. Is that something that either of you or any of you are doing or would advise doing or not doing? I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely link to our third-party site that manages our job requisitions. So we use a company called Lever. And that's definitely important for us, because for people who want to work with TrueAccord, we want to make sure that they have the right information, see which roles are available, learn more about our company. So I would recommend doing that.
Yeah, due to our size, currently, we don't offer the ability to say, apply or interact as a potential candidate, other than going to the contact page, I guess, and sending a message that way. But it's definitely something, as our company grows, that becomes an item that we need to add to our website so that we can cast a wider net, especially with unemployment rates being so low. We want to be able to communicate with, just like consumers, with potential candidates the way they want to be communicated with.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. We Julie talked a little bit before about analyzing traffic, and certainly that's something that, you know, a company with as much investment in technology that TrueCourt has can do and is doing it. She did give some tools that smaller agencies can do, can use. I'm curious, Kelly, Patrick, maybe to get your perspective on, you know, what you're analyzing or looking at, or maybe what ideally you'd like to be analyzing and looking at if you're not currently doing it now.
I guess I can start, because I don't have much to say in this topic. Like, we're not doing anything now. I think it may be something that we think about moving forward. One of the things that just kind of came to my mind was, you know, maybe if you're analyzing when people are coming to your site, and maybe it's coming like, you know, maybe you close at 5 and from 5 to 6 you're getting a lot of traffic on your website, people trying to make payments, things like that. I kind of wonder if, you know, maybe increasing your hours, your phone hours, might not be a bad idea. So that was kind of one of the things that I just kind of thought about when this question came up.
Yeah. So we use Google Analytics. We've used Google Analytics for over a decade. And if you haven't seen a Google Analytics report, you should really look at it for your website. It's pretty interesting. There's a lot of data in there. Some of it may be overwhelming, but certainly knowing, you know, if people are coming to your website is important, right? Do people even come to your website? One, two, where are they going when they're on your website? So what pages are they going to? What are they looking at? Are they bouncing from those pages quickly? Are they leaving your website? So are they going to your payment prompt or your payment page on your website and then leaving? So why? We should analyze that. And I think you can do heat maps as well. So like, why are these people leaving your website? Is it because your payment portal is so overly complicated? Does it not feel right to them? And you can use that data to analyze your website from a feel standpoint, but you can also analyze it from a traffic standpoint of where are people coming from. You can even drill down geographically. Are people coming from this state? Are they coming from this country? Are they, you know, they bots or trolls? So there's definitely a lot of information that you can glean from the analytics reports, and then kind of start to look at your website from a different perspective. Really look at it kind of as this organic thing that it really is, and how's it interacting with the internet.
Yeah, and one key thing that Google Analytics can tell you is the composition of desktop versus mobile. Tools your customers are using. And for us, we found that I think right now it's over 85% of our customers are using our website on mobile. So that really tells us that we need to really focus on mobile optimization. So how does the screen load when they're on mobile? Are the call to actions or the links on your pages above the fold or below the fold, which is, you know, do you have to scroll in order to get to the link to pay? So even that one little nugget of information that Google Analytics can provide is really key for understanding how your customers are using your site.
Very good information. Thank you. Patrick, I'm curious, with all of the data that you're getting, have you made any changes to your website, or is it something you're looking at doing? You know, has that analysis actually led to any changes that you can point to?
So we've only made minor changes to our sites at this point. And a lot of it is just bandwidth, right? We're a small office, so we can't take on large projects. We have a third party that does most of the work, but we still have to interact with them a lot to make sure that it passes approval. But you know, a lot of the data that we glean is more like, are they leaving? Are they leaving this payment site? And so we have made decisions to make a more user-friendly payment portal. And we're in the works with that right now. It's a long project, but hopefully it's done in the next couple of weeks, actually. But we have made those changes where we see people are leaving our payment site, And so we made more of a, because it was more of a, you just go and make a payment and it's turning into a, you log in, you can see your account balance, a little bit more detail oriented so that we can, you know, help people interact with our website the way that they're more accustomed to dealing with the financial service.
Got it. Thanks. A reminder to everybody, if you have a question for our panel, please type it into the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel, and we'll get to it in the time we have left today. I know that there's been some mention of this. I've read a few articles about this, but not much. Certainly has, it's been a few years since it's been popped and cut up in the collection industry, but there has been some concerns about making sites compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I just wanted to raise the topic briefly and see if any of our panel had any perspective they wanted to share on how important it was, or some ideas or tips just to kind of be aware that sites need to be compliant with the ADA and maybe how to go about doing that. Does anybody have anything they wanted to share on that?
I can share. I think you want to make sure that all of your consumers that you're reaching out to are able to easily use your website. And yeah, I don't know the numbers, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that do have various disabilities that may you know, limit how they can use various websites, whether that's being colorblind and not being able to distinguish you know, different link colors that could mean something important. I think if you have the bandwidth to focus on these you know, small changes, then you should take those necessary steps to make it accessible to all of your customers. Two things that you can do are make sure that your site is compatible with screen readers. And that's a tool that will read the content of a page or, you know, read out what a link says if somebody has problem you know, seeing what it says. And then also ensuring that all of your site functions and navigation can be operated via keyboard only commands. So those are two things that we definitely do at TrueAccord. And some of our clients actually require that we comply with you know, some of these you know, regulations and standards.
Sure, so I'll jump in. So I think that anything that can potentially create litigation against you is something that you should focus on. And we are obviously looking at this as something that could potentially become a litigious item. And so we're talking with our third party who manages our website to make sure that we're going to be in compliance with this. There's an article actually that I want to call up from Aristotle Sengele that just was released a couple weeks ago, I think. So if that's out there for more information as well. But I think this is something that we're trying to wrap our heads around to make sure that we're definitely compliant with this.
Got it. Okay. Kelly, you mentioned earlier before how there are some consumer attorneys who have created videos targeting specific collection agencies. And I think that goes to our next topic, and that's sort of looking at search engine rankings. And I'm wondering if you had any perspective, you know, in the searches you were talking about doing, where you were looking for other websites from collection agencies. What did you notice when you were, you know, in terms of search engine rankings, and is that something that agencies need to be aware of, and how aware of it should they be?
Yeah, I think that it's important. You know, it was interesting to see like kind of the different agencies that were paying for advertisement on Google. So that was kind of interesting to me, like some smaller agencies and then of course some bigger agencies. But kind of the interesting one was some of the larger agencies that do nationwide debt. What they would do is if I searched like, you know, Collections California, then I would be transmitted to a page that had like all of California law. And then I would do like California, or, you know, Collections Nebraska. So then the same company paying for advertisement. So I click on that and it now says, oh, here's your Nebraska laws. So it was kind of interesting the way that they're advertising and kind of using Google ads to get their website up there at the top. The other thing that's kind of interesting, we recently changed a little bit, about a year and a half ago, we changed our company name and URL. And so then what was really interesting is to like search our new website and how how difficult it is to actually get to our website now that it's changed. But if you search our old company name, we're still popping up pretty quickly. So it was kind of interesting to see that, and going through this process of getting prepared for this webinar, I'm like, okay, I got a list of things like, okay, how do we fix this? And how do we make this work better and get back up to the top under our new company name? I think that's pretty important. I also think that it's important, I think, to spend a little money to get to work to get there. I know there's things that you can do for free, but I think that the quickest way for agencies to kind of be on the top, are to spend a little bit of dollars. I also think that it's not necessarily like when they search Collections California that they're getting. I really think that when they're searching like Pacific Credit Services, I want them going to my website. I don't want them going to those consumer attorneys' websites. I don't necessarily even want them to go to the Better Business Bureau. I really want them to be going towards our direct to our website. So I think that that's key.
I think I agree. You definitely want to be on the top of the search results, and you don't want the people that are competing for your consumer's business to get their business before you get it, because that's really what it comes down to. You have either an adversary or a consumer credit counselor or some other type of organization that's trying to get that business as well. And so you want your company to be the first result that comes up.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll also add that paying attention to your Google rating is something that you should look out for. Because if people are searching you, and you know, even if you're the first one that shows up, if you have a one-star review, that doesn't look so great. So there's certain things that you can do to boost that score. Ask people to give feedback, and that can help you, you know, look legitimate and get trust from your consumers when they are searching for you.
Excellent. Thank you. We've talked a little bit about this, but I'm curious, how important is the look and feel? I know we were talking about sites that feel dated before, but and the red flags that it could potentially present to prospective clients or consumers. I'm curious, what message should agencies be sending? I know, Patrick, you talked about the objective of your site and how it sort of meshes with whether you're trying to sell to a prospective client or deal with a consumer. So I'm curious, how should the agency sort of address, the message they want to send and incorporate that into the look and feel of their website?
My opinion, it should be simple. You're not overselling yourself. Very simple website, make it easy to use. This is how you pay. This is how you make a complaint. This is our mission statement, but really like not overly explaining things, not a whole lot, not very text rich, links, pictures, and very little information on the website to kind of drive them towards interacting with it versus having them read a bunch of stuff. Like there's not like a huge big story about our organization on there. That's not our focus necessarily. This is our mission, is to interact with you or interact with a potential business. But really I want you to talk to me on the phone or, have that conversation about the more finite details over the phone versus on the website at this point.
Yeah. For us, you have to think about how overwhelming debt collection can be to your consumers. And so when they get to your website, how can you take away some of that fear and that stress? And so definitely making that easy for them and simple is key. You want it to be very easy to use. You don't want it to be, outdated looking, like was mentioned earlier. Your content should be really clear and concise. Just overall, you want to give the consumer the confidence that you're there for them to help them resolve their debt, and you're not going to muddy the website with a bunch of extra stuff.
And I also think that to your point is that, we're here to help the consumers. So if this message or this theme to our clients on all over the website is like, we get the money collected, we're the best in the industry, we're bringing thousands of dollars to our clients, what kind of message are you sending to the consumer that's really struggling to actually pay off their account? And so that was one of the things that when I was looking at some of the websites, they just like, they spoke so much about how much they're doing for their clients. And I think that if a consumer went there, I think this continued theme of like, we're just out here to take all your money. We don't care, you know, that you can't put food on your table, and kind of this common theme that I think we deal with in the industry, that we're not really here to help consumers, I think is something that we just keep putting that message out there with these heavy sales websites that, that tell them how great we are and how good we are at taking money from people.
Yeah, we have a consumer focused page that has you know, a lot of quotes from some of our customers. And we think that helps having testimonials there to give people a little peace of mind of, you know, how other people have experienced working with us. Yeah, they don't want to just see information about how much money that agencies are able to collect. That's not top of mind for them. It's more about their experience and how agencies can help them.
That's a great idea. I like that.
So how do you manage that, where you, we're the best collection agency ever, but also, you know, have sort of that look and feel where you're, you've got empathy for the consumers and their situation, and that you want to sort of be helpful and deal with it, you know, work with them. How do you kind of manage that dynamic on a you know, on a static web page?
Yeah, it definitely can be hard. I think the content that you use is really key. So, you know, tailoring that messaging to be empathetic with your consumer, but also show that, you know, you're a successful agency and you know what you're doing, to not only give confidence to the customer, but also to potential clients is important. And like I said earlier, having, you know, navigation on your website to get people to their respective areas, whether that's a consumer or a customer or a potential employee, is important.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at a website from a client's perspective, you're looking to see, is this website going to help me recover money? Your determination, your real determination on whether or not you're going to onboard a client is really through that RFI process. The website's going to be kind of that first step, but you really kind of dig into the details through the RFI process with a client. So I don't know that you really have to be so sales focused as much as this is how you're going to help my consumers resolve their issues.
Now, I'll put a plug for another agency, is Credit Consulting Services out of Salinas. Rodney Meeks is the owner, and he recently did some videos with a company. And they're great. They're like, there's four of them. They're right on his front page of his website. And some of them are geared for his clients, like what we can do to, you know, help your increase your recovery. But some of them are also from a consumer perspective, and I thought they were really great. I thought it was kind of an interesting way to get your message across in a way that people like, right, with videos and things like that, instead of all these words. So I thought his was a great example of one that did that.
Excellent. One last thing I'd like to talk about today, spend a few minutes on, is blogs. We've talked about having, you know, industry or educational information. We've talked about look and feel. We've talked about search engine ranking. So we've kind of talked around it a little bit, but I'm curious if any of you recommend that a collection agency should have a section of their site where they're posting content, all, you know, be it about their company and what they're doing, their charitable efforts, or, you know, things like that, or, you know, new clients, or just general comments or perspective on the industry. How do you think, or how would you recommend companies in the ARM industry sort of handle this concept of having a blog and whether they should or shouldn't?
So I was checking out True Accords, and I thought it was kind of interesting. All the information that was on there, I liked it. I liked that it was current and up to date. I saw some of the other blogs that I was checking out weren't up to date, so they do it for a while and then maybe fall off and then do it again. So that's similar to like our newsletter that, you know, we got them off the ground and then we lose a staff member. So then it's now who's doing the newsletter. And then, you know, we stop doing the newsletter. And then I'm like, what does that mean for the staff? So, or for the clients or people that you're sending it out to. So I think whatever you decide to do, you've got to make it so that it's something that you're going to continue to do, or if you're going to do it, you know, weekly or monthly. I think that just like your website can go stale if you're not keeping up with that blog, then you really are, you know, you're putting kind of old data on there.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so from our perspective at TrueCard, it's definitely an essential element of our website. I think it gives companies a way to build brand equity and show that they're thought leaders in their space. So we try to stay relevant with what's going on in the industry and also post, you know, helpful articles for our consumers. But it also is a really great way to increase your traffic to your website. And so, you know, the better you can build a blog for your industry, the easier it is to bring visitors to the site. That's where the relationship between great web design and great content comes in. Because if the content is there, then it brings in the readers, and then the design and, you know, the copy can really work to turn those future customers, whether that's, you know, people paying off their debt or future clients. So I would say that blogs are important for many reasons.
Yeah, so I was actually talking... Excuse me. I was talking with Adam Parks from Branding Arc yesterday about this, about the concept of having a blog, because he's really been focused on us having a blog on our site, and really it's twofold from his perspective, and really the way that I see it very similarly is that it gives you an opportunity to tell your story as an organization, and that you're not just what people perceive you to be, so that you're actually involved in the community, you're participating in the community, you're a good actor in the community. And then from the other side of it, the traffic side of it being that the frequency in which you update your website increases your visibility on the search engine optimization. So it's going to pull your website higher because Google is evaluating your website based on quality and frequency of when it's being updated. And so if you're doing blogs, then you're updating your website more frequently, obviously. And I do buy into it's a difficult task to make sure that you're doing consistently, especially in a small organization. And so that becomes a little bit more difficult when you have less people in your office to focus on it, but it definitely is something that can provide value to your website.
Excellent. Thanks. We've only got a couple of minutes left. What I'd like to do before we wrap up is go around the panel one last time and give each of our panelists a chance to share any parting words of wisdom, anything they didn't get a chance to address but wanted to, because, you know, just the way the direction of the conversation went today, but they still felt was important and wanted to mention it, or just to sort of summarize their key takeaways or talking points, if they don't mind, so we can do that before we wrap up. Patrick, would you mind going first?
Oh, man. Yeah, sure. So first, thanks for including me on this panel. I actually did learn a lot from the co-panelists on the panel, so thank you very much. I think, you know, my parting words was really kind of, it's 2019. You need to have a website. You need to have a modernized website. People want to communicate via the internet, so you need to be where people want to communicate. When we have conversations with regulators, the regulators say that they want consumers to be able to communicate in the fashion that they feel comfortable with. So it's not really negotiable. You have to do it. Those are my parting words.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Thank you. Julie?
Sure. I think I'd highlight that, you know, even if you're a smaller agency, you don't have to do all of this on your own. There's a lot of third parties out there to help you build a really great website, whether that's from, you know, analytics companies to security or even website builders. So if some of this sounds daunting, there is a lot of help out there. But long story short, you definitely should have a website, and the more and more functionality that you're able to put on that website, the better, since most people now want to do deal with their debt online rather than having to talk to people.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you. Kelly, you get the last word today.
Okay. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was great to be on this webinar with the other two people. I appreciate you guys and your feedback. It was kind of nice to hear it from a different perspective. And, you know, I think that there's not a right answer. I think that for us, when we decided to redesign our website, we looked at a lot of websites, collection agency websites and other sites that we were using, and really things like, you know, your Chase webs, you know, your Chase credit card website. Like, what do you like about it? What don't you like about it? What could you do differently? And those were kind of the way that we redesigned our website. And then we reached out, and another shameless plug here, Mike. Mike helped us get our website up and running and did a great job. We're really happy with it. And so, you know, these are the things that you can do. Just like what was said, is go out to people that are already doing it and use what they're already doing to, you don't have to do it on your own. So.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, Julie, Kelly, Patrick, thank you one last time for participating today. Really appreciate you taking the time and sharing such important and useful information with everybody and with the industry. Also want to thank PDC Flow one more time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.pdcflow.com to learn more about the company. Thanks everybody who participated and listened in and asked questions today. A final reminder to please take a minute and fill out the feedback survey for today's webinar to help identify topics and speakers that will be of the best use to you going forward. I hope everyone stays tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. I hope everyone enjoys the rest of your day. Thank you. Panel, awesome job. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.